السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آج 23 مارچ ہے.
After reciting the تشہد, تاؤز and سورہ الفاتحہ, حضرت خلیفۃ المسیح V ایدہ اللہ تعالی بنصر العزیز stated, Today is March 23rd. This day is commemorated in the community as the Promised Messiah Day, in which the community also holds jalsas in relation to this. In the coming 2 days, as the weekend approaches, many congregations will celebrate these jalsas and narrate the history, background, and all other aspects of it. At present, I will present some excerpts from the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in which he has elucidated the purpose of the advent of the Promised Messiah, his need. After he made his claim, the so-called scholars did not leave any stone unturned, exerted the utmost efforts, and went to all possible lengths in order to incite the general Muslims against him, and they still continue to do so. However, with the help of Allah the Almighty, his community continues to make progress, and pure-natured people continue to join the community. Nevertheless, while mentioning his advent in accordance with divine promises, and also proclaiming that he was indeed the aforementioned Messiah, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, Unjust attacks have been launched against the true Tawheed of the Divine and against the honor, sanctity, and veracity of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and against the veracity and the truth of the Holy Quran. Would it not then behove the honor of God the Supreme to raise in this age an individual to break the false doctrine of the cross? Did God the Exalted forget His promise of Inna Nahnu Nazzalna Dhikra wa Inna Lahu Lahafizun? indeed not. The promises of God are ever true. He has sent a warner to the world according to his promises. The world did not accept him, but God Almighty will surely accept him and will establish his truth through mighty signs. I tell you truly, I have come as the promised Messiah in accordance with God's promise. Let him whoso wills accept, and let him whoso wills reject. However, your rejection will make no difference. Whatever God has promised will surely come to pass, because God has made the promise in Brahina Ahmadiyya, stating, Sadaqallahu wa Rasulahu wa kana wa'dan maf'oola, i.e., Allah and His Prophet has spoken the truth, and the promise will come to pass. Then, at another occasion, he said, examine this dispensation in accordance with the precepts of prophethood, and then see for themselves as to who is in the right. Neither are imaginary principles and suggestions of any avail, nor do I assert my truthfulness based on imaginary things. Rather, I measure my claims against the standard of the precepts of prophethood. Then why should its truthfulness not be examined according to this principle? I am certain that those who listen to my words with an open mind shall derive benefit from them and will come to believe. However, those who harbor malice and rancor in their hearts will not be able to benefit from my words. Their similitude is that of a squint-eyed individual, one who is cross-eyed and has double vision. No matter how many arguments are provided to him that there is only one object, not two, he would not accept them. He then presents a fable in which there was once a man who had a squint. His master told him to bring a mirror from inside. He went inside and returned saying that there were two mirrors. Which one shall he bring? The master replied that there is only one mirror, not two. The servant said, am I a liar? The master then replied that then he should break one of them. When he broke the mirror, he realized that in fact he was in the wrong, and there was only one mirror. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, however, what should I say to the cross-eyed individuals who oppose me? In short, we observe that if these people repeatedly present anything, then it is a collection of ahadith, which they themselves do not consider to be anything more significant than a state of doubt and speculation. They are unaware that a time will come when people will laugh at their vain discourse. People will mock at their absurd assertions. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, it is the right of every single seeker of the truth to request from us the proof of our claim. This is absolutely correct that they should ask for proofs. Everyone has a right to do so. For this we present exactly what the previous prophets have presented. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, they are texts from the Holy Quran and the Ahadith and logical arguments, i.e. current necessities, which demanded the advent of a reformer. Furthermore, I have put forth an outline with the signs of God which He has manifested at my hands. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that I have put forth an outline which comprises of approximately 150 signs and to which millions of people are a witness. To present absurdities is not an act of virtue. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that for this reason, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that he, i.e. the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, will come as an arbiter. In other words, when the Promised Messiah alayhi salam will appear, he will be the arbiter and you should abide by his decision. He will be the one to make decisions, and you should accept his decisions. Those people whose hearts are filled with mischief, as they do not wish to believe, they continue to present vain arguments and allegations. However, they should remember that in the end, God the Exalted, in accordance with his promise, will manifest my truth through mighty signs. I certainly believe that if I had fabricated lies, he would have destroyed me at once. However, every undertaking of mine is in fact his undertaking, and I have come from him. To reject me is to reject him. Therefore, he will personally manifest my truth. Then, stating the fact that rejecting the promised Messiah ﷺ leads to rejecting Allah the Exalted and his Messenger ﷺ, the promised Messiah ﷺ states, to reject me is not in fact limited to denying me alone. Rather, it is to reject Allah and his Messenger. The reason for this is that whoever rejects me prior to doing so, God forbid, holds Allah the Exalted to be a liar, as he witnesses that internal and external disorders have exceeded all bounds, and God the Exalted, despite his promise of Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun, he did not make any arrangements for their reform, as he apparently believes in the fact that God the Exalted promised in the verse of Istikhlaf that in similitude to the Mosaic dispensation, he would also establish the system of Khilafat in the dispensation of Muhammad ﷺ. However, God forbid, he did not fulfill his promise, and there is presently no Khalifa in this Ummah. Furthermore, it does not end here. Rather, he will also be compelled to reject the statement of the Holy Quran, where the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been referred to as the like of Moses, God forbid. The reason for this is that for the absolute resemblance and similarity of this dispensation, it was necessary that a Messiah would be born from within this Ummah at the head of the 14th century. Just as a Messiah appeared in the Mosaic dispensation at the head of the 14th century. Similarly, they would be compelled to falsify this verse of the Holy Quran, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, which gives the glad tidings of a reflection of Ahmed, i.e. the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Similarly, there are many verses of the Holy Quran which a person would be compelled to reject. As a matter of fact, I declare that the entire Quran will have to be abandoned from Al-Hamd all the way to An-Nas. Now reflect whether my rejection is an easy task. I do not say this of my own accord. I swear by God the Exalted and say that this is the very truth, that whoever leaves me and rejects me, whether he does so verbally or not, he has certainly falsified the entire Quran and abandoned God with his actions. One of my revelations also points towards this. Allah the Exalted said, Anta minni wa ana minka, i.e. that you are from me and I am from you. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, there is no doubt that my rejection mandates the rejection of God, and that my acceptance testifies to the truth of God, and firm faith in his being is developed. Furthermore, to reject me is not in fact limited to rejecting me. Rather, it is to reject the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Thus, prior to forming the courage to reject and deny me, a person should reflect and seek guidance from his heart as to who he is rejecting. Elaborating further on the fact that rejecting the promised Messiah alayhi salam mandates the rejection of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the reason behind it and how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rejected by denying the promised Messiah alayhi salam, he says, how is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rejected? In other words, how is the Holy Prophet ﷺ rejected as a result of denying the promised Messiah ﷺ? He states, the reason for this is that the promise made by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stating that the reformer would appear at the head of every century, would be proven to be false, God forbid. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Imamukum minkum," i.e. your imam from among you. That too, God forbid, would be proven to be false. Furthermore, the glad tidings that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave of a Messiah and Mahdi to appear at the time of the discord caused by the cross would also have proven to be false, God forbid. The reason for this is that all the disorder and corruption is present. However, the Imam who was to appear did not appear. When a person practically accepts these things, will he be declared as someone who rejects the Holy Prophet ﷺ or not? The Promised Messiah states, "Thus, I openly say that my denial is not an easy task. Prior to declaring me as a disbeliever, you will have to become a disbeliever yourself. Declaring me to be irreligious and misguided will be postponed. However, you will first have to accept your own misguidance and humiliation. In order to declare me as someone to have abandoned the Holy Quran and the Ahadith, you will have to abandon the Holy Quran and the Hadith yourself. Even in that case, only he will abandon them. In other words, I will not abandon them. Only he will abandon them who declares me to have abandoned them." The Promised Messiah al-Islam states, "I testify to the truth of the Holy Quran and the Hadith, and I am a fulfillment thereof. I am not misguided, rather, I am the Mahdi. I am not a disbeliever, but a true fulfillment of Ana Awwalul Mu'mineen. Furthermore, God has manifested to me that whatever I say is true. Whoever believes in God and believes the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be true, it is sufficient evidence for him to hear these words uttered by me and remain silent. However, what is the remedy for a person who is audacious and impudent? God will personally explain this to him." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam was explaining all of these aspects to a visiting guest. The Promised Messiah stated, "Do not hasten in relation to me. Rather, you should reflect with pure intentions in a clearer mind." Then on one occasion, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Thus, if the hearts of the people are free from grudges and malice, they should listen to my words and follow me and observe whether God the Exalted leaves them in darkness or guides them towards the light. I am certain that whoever follows me with patience and a pure heart will not be destroyed. Rather, he will partake of the life which has no end. In other words, he will be honored in this world, and Allah the Exalted will also shower blessings upon him in the hereafter." The Promised Messiah al-Islam states that, "I present the verdict of Jesus with regards to his second coming, to he whose heart is pure and fears God. He should explain to me whether or not Jesus was correct in his answer to the questions of the Jews, saying Elijah must first appear. The Jews presented their scriptures stating that the second coming of Elijah is mentioned in the book of Malachi. There is no mention of someone coming in the spirit of Elijah, but instead he shall appear in person. That is to say that there is no mention of someone coming in the spirit, and it is not written that someone will appear in his likeness." The Promised Messiah Islam further states, "Jesus said that one to come is no other than John the Baptist. It is up to you whether you choose to accept him or not. Leave this decision to any fair-minded person and see in whose favor his verdict will be. It is evident that if they were to leave this decision to any judge, we would see that his verdict would surely be in favor of the Jews, because the decision would be made according to what is literally written. But he says that this decision is wrong, because anyone who believes in God and understands how God Almighty's chosen ones are sent will know for sure that whatever Jesus said is correct." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Tell us, is it not the same situation in this time? If you fear God, then you would tremble if you had the audacity to say that this claim is false. It is a shame and regretful to say that these people do not even have as much faith as the one who was among the people of Pharaoh and said that if he is a liar, then he will perish himself. If one acts with righteousness with regards to me, then one would say the same and witness whether God Almighty is supporting and aiding me or destroying my movement." By the grace of Allah, today that voice which emanated from that small village has spread to 210 countries. And this too is a proof of his truthfulness. In far-off places, where 30 or 40 years ago, no one could imagine Ahmadiyyat would have spread, not only has the message reached there, God Almighty is also granting people with such firm faith that one is left amazed. I shall present one incident. Benin is a small African country. In 2012, a Jamaat was formally established there. There is an Ahmadi from a village there named Ibrahim Sahib. He accepted Ahmadiyyat, but prior to this, he was a Muslim who was well versed and knowledgeable. After accepting Ahmadiyyat, he began excelling in earnestness and sincerity. He began preaching to his brothers and relatives. His brother was bothered by his preaching, feeling he would sway them from their faith, so he began fighting him. Even still, he continued his preaching to the people about Ahmadiyyat and the true Islam. As a result of his efforts, by the grace of Allah, three neighboring villages entered into the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Ibrahim Sahib's brother, along with another person, devised a plan to kill him because he continued to spread Ahmadiyyat and thought ending his life would be the only solution. Ibrahim Sahib says, I saw in a dream that my elder brother and his friend are digging a ditch and placing something inside it. 3 days after seeing this dream, his brother's friend suddenly fell ill and died. His brother started saying that this Ahmadi had forged some sorcery on my friend. He says, sometime later, I saw another dream that my brother is measuring himself against a tree. In that area, there is a tradition that whenever someone passes away, in order to dig the grave, they measure the deceased with the bark of the branch of a tree, and in that way, the grave is dug according to that size. He says, a few days later, my elder brother's pregnant wife fell ill and died within 2 days. His children also began falling ill, but still it had no effect on his brother, and he continued spreading rumors that he is a sorcerer. He complained to the local chief and asked him for help. He asked for some money and said to bring him here so that I can put him in his place. His brother handed him the money, and the chief summoned Ibrahim Sahib. When he went, the chief said in a very enraged and infuriated manner, but what is it that you have done by adopting a new religion? Renounce this new religion which you are spreading once and for all, and repent. Otherwise you will not live to see the sun rise. You will not live to see tomorrow. Ibrahim Sahib replied, I accepted this religion, realizing it was the truth. I cannot therefore abandon it. As for dying, life and death are in the hands of God. The chief said that I am the God of this land. I do as I please. You know full well what decision I am about to make, and that whoever I say will die tomorrow will certainly die. Ibrahim Sahib answered, It is all well and good that you say this to your traditional people, but I cannot say anything in this regard. Even still, I shall not forsake my religion, as this is the truth and the true Islam. Upon hearing this, the chief became even more enraged and ordered his people to take him and lock him in a room. Whilst they were taking him away, Ibrahim Sahib spoke to them, telling them not to get involved in this affair and to let him go free instead of detaining him. It is just as well, these people are somewhat selfish, so they took some money and let him go. The next morning, he was given the news that the chief has been paralyzed and is unable to get up and walk about. 2 days later, he died. Having witnessed this, Ibrahim Sahib's brother, who opposed him, asked his family members to reconcile between them. Ibrahim Sahib said that I never had any enmity with anyone. In any case, we are peace seekers, and this is also the true message of Islam. Having witnessed the sign of the chief passing away, there was a profound effect on the people there, and he became the talk of the town. The truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat was demonstrated. Hence, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, such incidents even today are happening in the favor of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Take note, I swear by God Almighty that thousands of signs have appeared in my favor, and are appearing and will continue to appear in the future, i.e. they have not ceased. Had this been the work of a human, it would have never received this much support and success. This is the plan of God, due to which so much support is received." On one occasion, explaining the need for a reformer and the promised Messiah, he states, "Just as there comes a time to cut each crop, the time has now come to remove all evils. The time has come to eradicate all disorder and vices which have spread in the world." He says, "Disgracing those that are truthful and humiliating them has crossed all limits. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is valued, God forbid, as nothing more than an insect. People even fear wasps, hornets and ants. Yet no one will hesitate in insulting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have become the embodiment of kadhabu bi ayatina, and they have rejected our signs totally. They have exerted their utmost effort when using abusive and foul language. Now the time has truly come for God Almighty to reprimand them. In such times, He always sends someone to possess the zeal to re-establish His grandeur and glory. Such a person is in need of internal support. In reality, it is God Almighty who does everything, and His bringing into existence is a fulfillment of His practice. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا." Now that time has come for Him to send me in accordance with His practice. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "After studying the scriptures of God Almighty, it can be discerned that when all limits are crossed, then preparations are made in heaven. This is the sign that the time for making preparations has come. A great sign of a true prophet, messenger or reformer is that he appears at the right time and the time of need. People should swear that, is this not the time for someone to be prepared in heaven?" The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was asking the people to swear that, is this not the time? In that era and even now, people say that we are in need of a reformer. In fact, the Maulvis, i.e. Muslim clerics in Pakistan themselves, are saying the same. Yet they reject the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Bear in mind that God Almighty does everything Himself. If all of us and our community sit idle in our rooms, then this work would still come to pass and the Dajjal will fall." Whenever a thing attains progress and reaches its peak, when it believes it has power over all things, and all success is in its hands, then that progress which it has attained starts to decline. In the same way, the decline of these powers has also begun. Whether they are the powers against Islam or those opposed to Ahmadiyyat and the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. He then states, the fact that it has reached its pinnacle shows that it will now see its own decline. It has reached the absolute heights. This shows that it will now slump down. Its population is a sign of its destruction. The power and population which it feels is in abundance will become the sign of its destruction. A cold breeze is blowing. The works of God Almighty happen gradually. Yes, the sign has begun to appear. The works of God Almighty happen little by little and will be done, God willing. He says, if I did not have any evidence, even then, considering the current state of affairs of this age, it was obligatory upon the Muslims to search for the Messiah like a madman and ask the question, why has he not arrived yet to break the cross? They should not have yearned for the Messiah to resolve their own disputes. If they had a sense of honor for Islam, they should have sought the Messiah to defend the faith instead of looking for him to resolve their own issues. He says, because the purpose of the Messiah is to break the cross, which is also the need of the time. Similarly, in one place he says, atheism is rampant. The purpose of my advent is also to refute this. He says, it is for this reason his name is the Promised Messiah. If the Muslim clerics had any consideration for the goodness and welfare of mankind, then they would not have treated me in the manner they have. They should have considered this fact. What have they gained by issuing edicts against us? If God Almighty has commanded a person to be, who can tell him not to be? What was the benefit of issuing verdict against the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam? The Jamaat is progressing in the same manner. This is because when Allah the Almighty decrees a thing to be, it sets in motion and no one can prevent it. He says, these people, my opponents, they also serve as my helpers by spreading my message to the east and the west in one way or another. Those against us are actually spreading the message of Ahmadiyyat and true Islam through their opposition, because this is one way through which people's attention is directed towards the truth. Many write letters and establish contact with the Jamaat and say, due to the opposition of some cleric or after listening to something against you, we became curious to learn more about you and we started researching. And now that the Jamaat literature is available everywhere through the internet and one can find everything and also make comparisons. So some people express their desire to join the Jamaat after doing their own research. This is also becoming a source of propagation through the clerics and opposition of the Jamaat. While responding to those who object that they are already following the Islamic teaching and there are already so many sects within Islam, why is there a need to create another sect? And what is the purpose of joining your Jamaat? The Promised Messiah Islam states, sometimes in this day and age, even Ahmadis stay silent when they hear such things. And even today there are such Ahmadis who remain silent and do not know how to respond. He says, there are a lot of people who object at the need of this movement. Do we not offer prayers and observe fast? They mislead others in this manner, and there would be no surprise if some ignorant people are deceived when they hear such things, and perhaps they end up joining such people and say that we are in a state of offering prayers, observing fast, and special prayers. Then what is the point of this dissension, and why was this new sect established? We are offering prayers and offering fasts. Then what is the point of joining your community and the creation of this new conflict and disorder? The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, remember, such things result from a lack of understanding and insight. This is not because of me. If this dissension was created, then it was started by Allah the Almighty Himself who established this movement. I did not initiate this movement. Allah the Almighty was the one who established it, because the spiritual state has deteriorated continuously which has resulted in the utter extinction of the strength and faith. And Allah the Almighty desires to revive the spirit of the true faith through this movement. In such a situation, these objections raised by people are baseless and absurd. Hence, bear in mind that such evil suggestions should never take root in anyone's heart, and it is not possible for something like that to take root if deep deliberation and consideration is employed. It is due to the lack of this practice that such evil thoughts come to the mind of those who only consider the superficial state and say that there are other Muslims as well. Such evil thoughts can result in the destruction of an individual. The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, I have seen letters of those people who are seemingly part of my community. They have taken the oath of allegiance, but they say when we are asked that there are other Muslims who apparently offer prayers, read the Islamic creed, do virtuous deeds, and seem to be righteous people, then what is the need for a new movement? He says, despite the fact that such people are part of my community, they write to me after taking my oath of allegiance, stating they do not have an answer for these evil thoughts and objections. I feel remorse for them, for they have failed to understand my real purpose and objective. They only consider the customary actions of people who are following Islamic practices and fulfill the divine obligations, whereas the spirit of truth cannot be found within them. This should not be done ceremoniously or as a mere formality. In fact, worship should be done in its real sense, as well as fulfilling other obligations. Therefore, such doubts can appear as captivating. The doubts they create can have a captivating effect on people. At the time, they fail to understand that we desire to create true faith in them, which saves one from the death of sin. Those who simply follow tradition and ceremonial formalities, they simply focus on the physical aspects and are heedless of his essence. They possess only the shell and are bereft of his essence. There is no doubt that Muslims adhere to the physical practices of Islam, but are devoid of the true spirit and lack of taqwa. The Promised Messiah Islam states that if the practice of Muslims is righteous, then why this is not producing the desirable results? In relation to this, the Promised Messiah Islam states, some Muslims think that what is it that we do that is against Islam? We proclaim the creed, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. We observe prayers, fast during the days of fasting, and pay the zakat. In other words, those Muslims who are not part of the Jamaat, they claim that everything we do is in accordance with Islam. It is not as if by attaching with you, we will be enabled to acquire a better understanding of Islam, because we already recite the creed, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. We recite the prayers, we keep the fast and pay the zakat. The Promised Messiah ﷺ states, however, I say that not all their practices are performed in a righteous manner. In fact, they are like a shell without its true essence. If these were righteous actions, then why do they not produce pure results? A practice can only be righteous when it is pure from all kinds of disorder and external influence. However, this is not the case with them. I can never accept that one who is a believer as well as being righteous and performs pious deeds, and yet he opposes those who have come with the truth. These people label me as disobedient and an atheist, and they do not fear God Almighty. I have sworn by God that it is He who has sent me as the appointed one. If the realization of God Almighty's greatness remained even in the slightest in their hearts, then they would not have rejected me. They would be fearful over the fact that they may be dishonoring God's name. But this would only happen if they had true and honest belief in God Almighty and feared the day of reckoning, and their actions were in accordance with لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, and follow not that of which thou hast no knowledge. The Promised Messiah ﷺ explained that the purpose of the Promised Messiah's advent was to safeguard Islam from the external and internal evil ploys and attacks. The Holy Prophet ﷺ also prophesied this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, regarding the latter days, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, there will be two kinds of evils. One of them will be internal and the other external. The internal evil shall be that the Muslims will no longer remain established on the true teachings and will fall prey to satanic influences. There will be no righteousness in their actions. They will diverge from the boundaries prescribed by God Almighty and will show no consideration to what He has forbidden by being immersed in gambling, alcohol, and all kinds of other immoralities and ills. They will give up on praying and fasting and will dishonor the commandments of God Almighty. They will mock and ridicule the Quranic injunctions. This will be the internal form of the evil, and the state of Muslims shall become deplorable, and this is the case of the majority of the Muslims. We can see how in the Muslim countries they are perpetrating cruelties against one another. The external evil shall be that great lies will be fabricated against the blessed character of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is something that is increasingly happening in this day and age. And all kinds of extremely vicious attacks shall be leveled against Islam in order to defame and dishonor it. Every kind of effort and plan will be made in order to make people believe in the divinity of Jesus and the accursed death on the cross. In short, for the reformation of both these evils, internal and external, the glad tidings was given through the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a person from his followers shall be commissioned to shatter the external evil and reveal the reality of the Christian faith. It is for this reason that he shall be called Jesus, son of Mary. He shall be called the Mahdi, for he will establish them on the right path by resolving the internal conflicts and disorders. The words, "and from among them who have yet not joined them," alludes to this. Therefore, since we have accepted the promise of Messiah alayhi salam, the standard of our relationship with God Almighty and our taqwa should be much higher than other Muslims. Our condition should not be like the general description of the Muslims given by the promise of Messiah alayhi salam. Our practical condition should be better than others. Our actions should be in accordance with the pleasure of God Almighty, and we should be righteous. Regarding this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam explains, one who does the bayt should not just simply be content with only believing this community to be on the truth, considering it sufficient to merely believe it as the truth. God Almighty is not pleased with merely believing in the truth unless one follows that with virtuous deeds. Once you have entered the community, then become pious, righteous, and refrain from every kind of evil. Pass through this time with supplications and pray with the utmost fervency day and night. During time of trials, God Almighty's wrath is also impassioned. At such a time, pray, supplicate with the utmost fervency, and give charity. Soften your tone, remain occupied in seeking forgiveness, and pray. The proverb is well known that one who supplicates never perishes. Simply believing in something is of no benefit. If one believes in something and then discards it, it will be of no benefit, and subsequently, it will be futile for one to then complain that he has derived no benefit from doing the bayt. God Almighty is not happy with the mere utterance of the tongue. Whilst elaborating on the meaning of amal saliha, i.e. pious deeds, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, in the Holy Quran, God Almighty has linked faith with amal saliha. Amal saliha is that deed in which there is not even an iota of disarray. Remember, man always falls prey to complacency. What is it that makes him complacent? It is pretentiousness, i.e. when man carries out a deed to show others. Ujub means to carry out a deed and to be pleased with their own actions. Similarly, these sorts of vices and evils ruins one's good deeds. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says, amal salih are those deeds which are free from all injustices, conceit, pretentiousness, arrogance, and usurping the rights of others. Just as one can be safeguarded due to their righteous deeds in the hereafter, similarly, one can be safeguarded through them in this world as well. This means that one will be saved in the hereafter due to one's righteous deeds. If one has carried out righteous deeds, then God Almighty will be pleased and grant a reward in return. Similarly, if one performs righteous deeds in this world, he will be saved from various trials and anxieties. The Prophet Messiah then says, even if there is one individual in the home who carries out virtuous deeds, the entire house can be saved as a result. Be mindful of this fact that until one carries out virtuous deeds, simply believing is not beneficial. If a doctor prescribes some medication, it means that one should eat those medicines as prescribed. If he does not take the medications and simply places the prescription to one side, how can he benefit from it? Since you have repented, God Almighty now wishes to see how much you have cleansed yourself after professing belief. The time has come in which God Almighty wishes to make a distinction between the righteous ones. Many people harbor complaints against God Almighty, yet they do not look within themselves. It is the injustices of one's own actions, because God Almighty is benevolent and merciful. The Prophet ﷺ states, there are some individuals who are aware of sin, yet there are other individuals who are oblivious to it. For this very reason, God Almighty has ordained that recitation of istighfar. One should recite istighfar for every sin, whether that sin is visible or concealed, whether they have knowledge of that sin or not. Similarly, they should recite istighfar for sin committed by their hands, feet, tongue, nose, ear, eyes, i.e. no action of this nature should be committed, or none of the limbs should be used in a manner in which it results in sin. Therefore, repeat istighfar so that no limb of the body is guilty of sin. The Promised Messiah then says, these days you should recite the prayer of Adam, which is رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This prayer has been accepted from its inception. Do not live your life heedlessly. A person who does not live heedlessly should have no worry for him to be placed in a great trial. Which means a person who lives their life with the fear of God in mind is never placed in difficult trials or misfortunes. The Promised Messiah then says, no trial befalls an individual were it not for the will of God. Just as the prayer has been revealed to me, رَبِّ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ خَادِمُكَ رَبِّ فَحْفَزْنِي وَانْصُرْنِي وَرْحَمْنِي. It is our belief that everything is in the hands of God Almighty, irrespective of the fact whether He uses a medium or without, whether God Almighty creates a means for an individual or not. The fact of the matter is that everything is governed by Him. Therefore, recite both of these prayers and understand these prayers. Thus, every Ahmadi from among us should analyze themselves that if they have accepted the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, are they fulfilling the due rites of their allegiance? Often when I have assessed the situation, it has come to light that many people do not even offer their prayers properly. They do not pay any attention to their prayers. Some people pay no attention towards istighfar, nor towards fulfilling the rites of each other. If this is the situation, then how can we say that we are the ones who carry out A'mal Salih? How can we say that we fulfill the rites due upon us after entering the bayt of the Promised Messiah? Other people are guilty of sin of not accepting. The people who have rejected the Promised Messiah have sinned by not accepting him. However, we are guilty of sin as we have accepted him but failed to reform ourselves, and also by pledging allegiance, then breaking our promises. Thus, every one of us should analyze themselves with great concern. May Allah protect us that we do not commemorate Promised Messiah Day merely as a celebration. Rather, may we fulfill our responsibilities of accepting the Promised Messiah, and may we be protected from all forms of discord, both internal and external. May Allah the Almighty always keep us in His protection, and also safeguard us from all trials and difficulties. Today, there is also an announcement and good news in that the Al-Hakam newspaper that was once published in Qadian will now be published from here. In 1934, it began printing again, but stopped soon after. Today, on the Promised Messiah Day, it will be launched from here in the English language. This newspaper was the first newspaper published in the time of the Promised Messiah, Islam. It will be printed in a small quantity. However, immediately after this Friday sermon, it will be available on the internet on www.alhakam.org. Similarly, there will be an app called Al-Hakam for mobile phones and tablets from which one will be able to easily download the newspaper and read it. The app for the familiar mobile phone devices such as Apple and Android will be available for download after this sermon. The first edition is a special feature for the Promised Messiah Day, and in future, a new edition will be uploaded every Friday. Also, there will be a few printed copies available. Nevertheless, people will be able to derive benefit from this. After this launch, may Allah enable it to continue incessantly. Since this newspaper will be in English, therefore the English-speaking members should derive maximum benefit from this.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ